and welcome, friends, to this edition of the Grace Hour. Once again, broadcasting live right here from our studios, which are located at the home of the Greater Grace World Outreach in Baltimore, Maryland. Thanks so much for joining us, friends, on this Thursday morning, and welcome to the Thursday edition of our broadcast. We hope you'll get a chance to stay with us all hour long, because we've got a great message coming up from Pastor Stevens. Again, we're highlighting this week's theme, the reality of the resurrection. And Pastor Stevens' message today is entitled, God's Provision of Resurrection. So you want to stay tuned for that, and we will be listening to his message in a couple of different portions. I think we have two clips today, and actually three. So we will play the first part, and then we will have a discussion here in our studio. And then the second part, as well as the third portion of today's message, and of course invite you into the conversation as well with your comments, questions, testimonies, counseling needs. And if you have a prayer request, we don't want you to keep that to yourself. Share it with us here at the Grace Hour so the body of Christ can join you for whatever those needs may be. When those phone lines are open, and we'll indicate to you when that is available for you, you can call us by dialing one of these numbers. Toll free in all of North America is 800-338-7060. Again, that's the toll free number, the local number here in the Baltimore area. And we encourage our local listeners to give us a call on the broadcast as well. Well, that's 410-483-3700. And we are very excited and motivated by this week's theme, the reality of the resurrection. Of course, this week's theme following Easter Sunday, and of course the resurrection on our hearts and minds, not only during this time of the year, but I think every day of every year, we're conscious and grateful for the reality of the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So again, we will go immediately today to our message. It's in three parts, and again, we will be back with you in a few minutes after we listen to part one of Pastor Stevens' message entitled, God's Provision of Resurrection.
It's interesting that in 551 B.C. in China, a very brilliant man was born into a distinguished family, and his name was Confucius. He was born 551 A.D., and he died, or rather, B.C., and died 457 B.C. He was never resurrected. There was a man born in northern India and very popular, lived approximately to be 72 years of age, and his name was Buddha. He had an amazing vision when he was 40 years of age and went forward and had a lot of people follow him in a very deep religious sense. But he died some 72 years later, and just in case you didn't know it, he never came forth from the grave. Amen. Then there was someone born who also was very, very popular, had depressions a lot, had a lot of visions, a lot of depressions, had a very distinct philosophy. He came up with a fourfold truth and eight paths to eternal life, he called it. He had a vision near Mecca, the capital of Mohammedanism, right today. He died, and just in case you haven't heard, he never came forth from the grave either. One of them lived to be 74, one lived to be 72, and the other one lived to be 62 approximately, I believe. And that's it. A lot of people are still following them, and they're dead. Many of them resulted in depression, discouragement, and had all kinds of problems in their lives, and they never got victory. And they were leaders, claimed to be God, and heralded to be God himself. It's a beautiful thing, some 2,000 years later, to be witnessing the power of our Savior and our Lord, who they crucified and killed, and they went to the tomb, and the leaders told Joseph to put the huge stone right up against it so no one could possibly get the body out. But it's a very special thing to know that when first Mary, and then two other women, and then there was approximately 12 appearances of Jesus Christ, and the 13th appearance was to Stephen, and the 14th appearance was to Paul on the Damascus Road, and the 15th appearance would be to you and I in the clouds of the air. In 1 Thessalonians 4:16. But there's been all kinds of appearances of Jesus Christ as a resurrected Lord. So far recorded 14 appearances of the Lord Jesus Christ as the resurrected one. I haven't heard of any appearances of Mohammed or Joseph Smith or Charles Taze Russell or Buddha or Confucius or whatever your favorite God might be, and I don't think you have a favorite God, but just in case there's one here that has one that isn't Jesus Christ, I don't think your God ever made an appearance, never will, never has, and cannot. Now, the disciples were living in a very gloomy day after his death and burial. Mary came with the spices to anoint his body even the morning that she came, and it was dark. And Mary herself did not expect anything to have happened. She loved him. But there's a beautiful verse in Proverbs 8:17 that would fit Mary. I love them that love me, and if they seek me early, they will find me. She sought him early, and she found him. She loved him, but she didn't understand the empty tomb, and she didn't come expecting it to be empty, by the way. And so many times, when the word of God is preached, as it was to the disciples, and Mary heard it, in Mark 8:31, the Son of Man must be despised, he must suffer, he must be rejected, he must die, and he must be risen. They heard it. He told them several times that I'm going to be rejected, and I'm going to suffer, I'm going to die, and I'm going to be resurrected. And they lived and acted like he had not said a word. Why? Well, obviously, they didn't hear it in faith. Number two, it didn't go into the memory center. Number three, they didn't trust in the character of his life, even though they heard the words of his mind. They didn't trust in the character of his life. It is so possible to have thoughts from God's Word, but not life from God's Holy Spirit. We can have all the doctrines in the world, but if we miss out on the life of God, there'll be no realization of resurrection. The tomb was empty. And what does it mean? A brand new beginning for everybody. He was delivered for our offenses in Romans 4:25 and raised for our justification. His resurrection justified us. Amen. He was delivered for our offenses, but raised for our justification. His death took care of all of our offenses, but his resurrection justified us. Why? Because that means that his substitutionary death that he died was accepted by the Father in our behalf, so that we could come to God through Jesus Christ and be redeemed from all of our iniquities. So his justification of our lives came through his resurrection.
Well, there's the first portion of today's Grace Hour message, friends, God's provision of resurrection. And as Pastor Stevens brought out that portion in Romans chapter 4, verse 25, delivered up for our offenses, raised again for our justification. And, you know, Pastor Jason Moore is joining me in the studio today for our Thursday morning broadcast. Had Christ died on the cross as payment for our sins, and had he remained in that grave without coming forth in resurrection, that would have been a message to the human race from God saying, I didn't accept it. I don't accept what he did in his death. But the reality of the resurrection is that the Father said, I accept it. That satisfies my justice. That satisfies, you know, the holy, righteous demands of a sinless and perfect God. I think the theological term that we used is God was propitiated. God's justice was satisfied. You know, the mercy seat, the true mercy seat in heaven, in the presence of God, the blood, Christ's blood was brought there and applied, and the justice of God satisfied. So it's just one verse in Romans chapter 4, verse 25, delivered for our offenses, but raised again for our justification. But that says so much, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a truth that never gets old. The eternal redemption, the action of God on behalf of the most undeserving. You know, we are forever thankful. There's a forever offering in Hebrews 10:10 for the sin, and there's a forever offering. And I love what he said. The death took care of the offense, but the resurrection took care of the justification. And what a tremendous revelation that we are justified today, that we are not our sin, and do not have to be not have to live in the consequence of sin, but today we can live in the power of justification.
And that becomes ours simply on the basis of faith. How grateful are we that we don't have to work for that justification, that we don't and cannot earn or merit that justification? It comes to anyone or whosoever will on the basis of faith alone in Romans chapter 5, verse 1, which really follows Romans chapter 4, verse 25. And that's what the Apostle Paul was speaking about in that fourth chapter. He's talking about the father of our faith, Abraham. What did he do but believe God in Genesis 15:6? And because he believed God, righteousness was placed on his account. We've done the same thing. And I think it's fascinating to think that although we may not have any, you know, Jewish heritage or any direct connection to Abraham, we may not be Hebrew and Jewish by nature, but we are, in the truest sense of the word, the children of Abraham, because he is the father of the faithful, and we belong to that family.
Amen. I mean, I think at the very onset, Pastor Love, Pastor Stevens had said something kind of important that maybe helps us understand what we're saying today. He said three things. Like, he said to hear in faith. I mean, I think we can't go over that too quickly, because how we hear will eventually determine how we act. But hearing in faith and letting it go into our memory center, how quickly it is to forget these truths that we are sinners, but our identity is sons and daughters. And then thirdly, very interesting, we do not trust in the character of his life. So to say, Lord, I put you above my feelings, I put you above the facts or evidences of things that we're seeing, we're trusting in the nature and character of your life. And this is why, just to kind of give another verse from Hebrews 10:14, that we are perfect in him. So what an amazing brand new beginning, he said, that we live in the resurrection side of the cross. Some people live on the suffering end, where Jesus suffered incredibly to the cross, but he triumphantly defeated the cross and resurrected. And that's the side that we're called to.
And you know, we hear so many people say today, you hear it often in conversations with people, if they could just get a new start, if they could just have a new beginning, if they could just have the slate wiped clean, because so many people are enslaved to their past. They can't shake it. They can't stop thinking about it. They're occupied with what's in the rearview mirror of life, and they just can't move on. And yet, this is the answer to those kinds of troubled souls. This is the answer to those whose lives are, you know, swimming and drowning in regret.
I give you a new beginning. I'll justify you. I'll give you a new heart. I'll give you a new start. I'll give you a new beginning. I'll wipe the slate clean. I'm not going to charge you with a single sin. That is incredible. I mean, when God says, and you've been quoting from Hebrews chapter 10, in that 10th chapter, it says, your sins and your iniquities, I will remember no more. And that's freedom.
Yes.
Because that's what every human heart longs for. How can I go on in my life if I cannot forget what's happened to me or what someone did to me or the mistakes that I've made? And God offers freedom to anyone who will come by faith, trusting Christ. Because as he said at the outset of his message, Buddha,
yeah,
still in the grave. Muhammad died. No understanding of a resurrection there. Joseph Smith died, and Confucius died. You could go all the way down the list. These people died, and there was no resurrection. Christ died and was raised again from the dead.
That's
what sets him apart.
And absolutely, I mean, I think what's so key here is to trust in the nature and character of his life. I mean, why is it that we remember our sin? It's because we're more familiar with that than his life. Why do we remember other people's sin? Jesus said, quoting another Jeremiah 50:20, I don't remember the iniquities of Jacob anymore. I have chosen to blot them out in Isaiah 44:22. Like a God who's all-knowing, all-present, all-able to do all things, he has chosen. So we want to trust in his life for us. And how many of us, it's very easy to become captive to the past, and we trust the sin that we did is more powerful than the work of the cross. And that sounds absurd, but a lot of us may live in the experience of a defeated life. And God says, you're not your sin, Romans 7:20, because there's been an eternal work of redemption, eternal work of redemption. Pastor Schaller and I were up at a conference in New York this week, and that was the theme. Is one of the themes that we are forgiven entirely. There's eternal redemption. And today, we are, and because of the resurrection, right? We are covered in his blood. There's a new story, a new start, and a brand new beginning.
Yeah, and it's so encouraging because no matter how many years pass, sin is still real. Guilt is still real. I mean, we're now at a point in time in human history, at least in our culture, where there are people telling us those are archaic thoughts. I mean, don't, please, sin, there's no such thing. Guilt, that's just something that the Christians made up and, you know, to try to control us and manipulate us. But sin and guilt still exist. They are real. And it doesn't matter what part of the planet you come from, you're dealing with those issues. And God says, look, if you come to me, if you trust me, I'll deal with that issue once and for all, and I'll bring freedom into your life.
Freedom. That's one of the most beautiful, just beautiful anointings, having that carefree spirit in Psalm 51 and the joy of our salvation. I mean, it's so easy to kind of agree with a lie because it's what we know. But God says, I have crucified every reason why you should be depressed. I have crucified every reason why that you should live in guilt. I have crucified every reason why that shame is defining your life. And I have resurrected so that you could live in the power of this resurrection. I think this is an important message that we don't just negotiate and swallow the devil's lie, but we just get a little feisty with the devil and say, let's talk a little bit about the resurrection, you know.
Amen. Well, let's continue to talk about it. Let's go back to the clip, and this is the second clip from today's message entitled God's Provision of Resurrection from Grace Hour founder Pastor Stevens.
Now, I want you to think how the Lord tried to teach us resurrection in Genesis 22:4. The 22nd chapter, Isaac was kept from death, and Hebrews 11:19 calls it a figure of the death and resurrection. He was kept from death, and he went away alive. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. A double negative. Believest thou this? Here we are this morning, sitting in this building that's materialistic, in a materialistic universe, in human bodies, chained by corruption, darkened by the death of our own conscience, totally incapacitated for certain things about resurrection life. And here we are, by the grace of God, able to face every single life in resurrection. What does it mean to face life in resurrection? It means that you and I never even have to taste death. Number two, we don't have to pay for our sins. Number three, there is no guilt lingering in the conscience of our yesterdays. Number four, there is no skeleton that has a right to be rooted in the soul. Number five, the old nature does not have any right to have dominion because in 2 Timothy 1:10 and Romans 6:6, he put to death the old nature. He condemned sin in his flesh, nullified it, put it to death, took it out of the way, destroyed its effect, took away its power, took away its grip, and released us through the amazing power of resurrection. Now let me ask you something. How can you live up to resurrection? One of the greatest problems that believers have is living up to something. The grace message condemns them. Not too many folks if you're visiting, just a few. If you preach five messages a row on grace, some people get condemned because they can't live up to grace. Of course you can. It's a gift. You don't earn it. Somebody said, I want to die. You're already dead. If my old nature could just be buried, it already is. But I don't feel it. It doesn't change a thing. It already is. It's so difficult to grasp that resurrection life isn't something we can live up to. Grace isn't something we live up to. Love isn't something we live up to. And victory isn't something we attain. Forgiveness isn't something that we earn or merit through some type of mental response to the gospel. Listen, resurrection means that it's something we receive by grace as a gift. It isn't something we live up to. Amen. If you fail again and again, remember, this life that we're talking about, resurrection, life through grace, isn't something that you live up to. It's something that's given as a gift because you and I are helpless and hopeless to do anything and to produce anything. And so God has a plain path of grace to receive grace and receive His righteousness and receive His words and receive His victory and be a partaker of His triumph over the devil simply by faith. If you fail 25 times this past week, this somebody here I know failed 24 times, and every time I look up, he's smiling at me because, God bless him, he rebounded, thank God. If you fail 25 times this week, God's grace isn't something that you live up to in that failings of 25 times. You receive grace and name your sin and go on and isolate it and do what God does, forget it. And remember, it was placed on Christ. That doesn't give me a license, but I'll tell you what, it sure gives me encouragement to follow Christ as I am through the process of frailty. Through the process of frailty. Now listen, what makes us think that there's anything in Christianity we can live up to? Don't live in condemnation to achieve something. Christianity is believing and receiving and enjoying Christ's life through grace. You notice, by the way, the stone was rolled away, not so Jesus could get out. If he could be raised from the dead, he could sure handle the stone. The angels didn't have to do it. But listen carefully. The angels took that stone that was blocking the doorway, and the angel sat on it. He used it to rest on. That was to block the body of Jesus, supposedly, from anyone taking it out through the humanistic thought of naturalism, the angel took it and sat on the stone.
Well, that's the second portion of today's message. The message is entitled God's Provision of Resurrection. And I love that thought. You know, the angels set the stone aside, not so that Christ could get out. He's more than able. If God can raise him from the dead, I think he can get him out of that tomb. I think he can find a way to move that stone. But it was moved so that we could go in and see the empty tomb. And, you know, there's so much hope, there's so much comfort there, especially if you have been in a situation, and I think so many of us have, Pastor Jason, where we've been in, you know, at the cemetery and remembering a loved one, a family member or a friend, someone in the body of Christ that has gone into eternity, and to know that that's not an end, that cemetery. For so many people, that's the end. That's where they will go, and, you know, that's their abode. But for the believer, you know, it's like a comma, you know. You're just turning the corner, and you're leaving this temporal existence for your real eternal home. You know, we could say about every believer that, well, whose body is put in the ground, he's not there. He's risen. He's in the presence of God, because we read in the scriptures, absent from the body, present with the Lord. And that is a fact for every born-again believer. And I love the way Pastor Stevens, you know, shared that thought, how this is not earned, this is not deserved, this is not merited in any way, shape, or form. This is a gift.
Yes, amen. I'm reminded of a message Pastor Stevens preached years ago called The Interview with Death. And just thinking of this weekend, we honor the life of Ed Brigham, and we just lost two amazing people, Joanna Strowski and Jackie Tramiel. And we think of them and honor them, love each name we just mentioned. And there's such hope that that comma or that dash that you mentioned, we're going to be reunited with our loved ones, and that today they are alive in the presence of God. And the unbeliever has no answer for death. You know, one person said it like this: they're infatuated or obsessed with dying, but they don't think of death. And just how God has answered that question, that, as you said, we're absent from the body and present with the Lord. And we've all been in those places where we've looked into the pit, or we're there at the cemetery, and we can say those beautiful words: they are not here. Why do you seek the living among the dead? As was said also by one of the angels. And death has been conquered. And I just, of course there's pain, of course there's sorrow, of course there's mourning, of course there's great grief. But it's eclipsed by comfort and purpose, and that's a beautiful thing. That's what comforts when words are not enough. I think, again, seeing the life of Christ, you know, as he said, we are believing and receiving and enjoying God. To me, that's the way to live our Christian life.
Amen. You know, I love what's the writer to the Hebrews says in the second chapter. Verse 14 says, chapter 2, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood," and he's talking about anyone in the human race, we're all partakers of both flesh and blood. Then it refers to Christ in the next part of the verse, which says, "He also himself likewise took part of the same." He took the flesh part, not the blood, because the blood of Adam is, of course, contaminated with sin. Christ had a different blood donor. It was his Father. And that blood was pure. It was undefiled. It was without sin. It was, even as Judas said, it was innocent blood, not something you can say about anybody else's blood. Our blood is guilty. But it goes on to say that Christ did this. He came into the human race. He was born as a member of the human race, that through death, which we know he accomplished, he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil. So it's like the great enemy that Christ saw from God's perspective was death. That's what had to be conquered. That's what he conquered. And, of course, behind that, we know that the devil also was defeated at Calvary. And then verse 15 says, and then he can now deliver them who through the fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Wow. How many people, you know, live with a fear of death?
Oh, my goodness. We just went through 2 years of that where that was up close and personal.
COVID-19.
Oh, my goodness. We all get that. We're not here saying that, you know, we're all touched. He's been touched with the feeling of our infirmity, but when we don't know the God who conquered death, that, you know, and he quoted John 8:51, we will never taste death. And this is an important point. And it's something that has to go beyond just the intellectual acknowledgement. It has to be something in the heart where God is saying, I am waiting for you. When you close your eyes, you take your last breath, your next breath, if we could say, your next visual is me, you know, and that'll be an incredible, as Pastor Schaller has said many times, and it's a very good tool in evangelism too, just when you stand before God, not if, but when you do.
Yeah.
What's that going to be like? I mean, for us as believers, it's going to be, I finally see my Lord, my Savior, my God. For the unbeliever, it's going to be, there'll be no space found for them. It'll be a very different experience, to say the least.
So we want to encourage any of you that are listening to the broadcast today, maybe you've not made that decision. We encourage you to make it, and don't put it off, and don't wait for a more convenient season. But today, now, invite Christ to come into your heart. Ask him to be your Savior. It's a personal decision. It's something that has to be received in John chapter 1, verse 12. Not something that merely needs to be acknowledged that, oh, Jesus came, Jesus died, Jesus was resurrected. That has to be believed. So if you've never made that decision, make it today. Call upon the name of the Lord. Whosoever can live forever by simply calling upon the name of Jesus. And if you'd like to do that, say, Jesus, come into my heart and save me and cleanse me of my sins. I'm trusting you in a personal way as my Savior. If you made a decision to ask Christ to be your personal Savior, let us know here at the Grace Hour. We want to hear from you. Please just give us a chance to celebrate your new birth with the body of Christ together. Well, we're going to go back in just a moment to the third portion of today's message. But before we do, we want to remind you, now is a great time to reach out to us. Phone lines are open at 800-338-7060. That, of course, is the toll-free number throughout all of North America, Canada, and the United States. And right here in the Baltimore area, you can join us, friends, at 410-483-3700. So let's go back to the third and final portion of today's message entitled God's Provision of Resurrection.
I want you to think of this morning. The Lord Jesus Christ called the angels in the Word of God in Mark 16, young men. Well, there's no old men and women around anyway. Your body may not be what it used to be, but how about your soul? It's hardly scratched the surface yet. If we have eternal life, if we're born again and we're saved by the grace of God, everybody is young men and young women. If you're 90, you haven't even scratched the surface of eternity yet. We haven't even begun. 1 billion years from tonight, you will not have grown old. Don't worry about old age. You can't grow old. The body may get a little bad, but who wants it anyway? I like it that he referred to the angels as young men. Secondly, when Mary saw that Jesus was risen and he called her by name, in the Greek says he spoke to her in the same tone that he had while he was on earth. Same tone. Exactly the same way. And she was frightened, and she was fearful, and she'd had seven demons cast out of her in Luke 8, 2. And she that forgiveth much loveth much in Luke 7, 47. And her sweet friend had gone, and it was a mystery to her. And finally, John 10, 3, my sheep hear my voice, and I call them by name. Aren't you glad with all the millions of people in the universe, God calls you by name today? Some people forget your name, but Jesus doesn't. Thank God for that. My sheep hear my voice, and I call them by name. George, he calls you by name. Kevin, I don't know about you. I think he'll call you by name. But my sheep hear my voice, and I call them by name. What else? What a beautiful book of individuals described in John. John 3, it was Nicodemus. John 4, it was the woman at the well. John 5, it was the man that was sick 38 years. Watch Jesus as he lovingly, creator of all the universe, creator of all the races, and now he's picking out an individual and visiting them in person. In John 9, the blind beggar. Then in John 11, 3, the two sisters individually. John 1, 41 to 48, it says they went and brought two others with them. Individuals, a book of individuals. Mark 16, 7, go and tell the disciples and Peter, he denied me three times. He cursed me. Be sure and tell him that I'm resurrected. Tell the disciples, but Peter needs to hear it special. He's an individual that I want to love. Even though he cursed me, even though he's backslidden, be sure and tell Peter, I am risen. Thomas, in John 20, 27, the first Sunday after resurrection, 1 week later, Thomas will miss the first service. Then he'll be there. And I love this about Christ and the individual. He will go not to Peter, not to John, not to James. He'll go to the one that said, except I see the prints in his hands and his feet, I will not believe. He will go to the one that needed him the most because of unbelief. He will go there. Go and tell the disciples. Oh, yes, and tell Peter. Thomas, and he says, my Lord and my God. Isn't it beautiful that here's the loving, powerful resurrection of Jesus Christ, and he calls us by name, and we haven't even scratched the surface of our youth yet. We haven't even begun to understand what eternal youth means. And then, when he said, I am the resurrection and the life, I am. Watchman Nee brings out so beautifully that it isn't what he does. It's who he is. He resurrects Lazarus because he is resurrection. He feeds the hungry because he is the bread of life. He gives all knowledge because he is wisdom. He baptizes with power because he is power. He sanctifies because he is the sanctifier. He heals because he is the healer. He loves because he is love. He gives grace because he is grace. What he gives is based upon who he is. That's why we are learning together, week after week after week, who he is.
Well, there's the conclusion, friends, of today's message from Pastor Stevens entitled God's Provision of Resurrection. And, of course, I think we all can say how much we appreciate what we read in Mark 16:7. Go tell his disciples and Peter. I think two of the most wonderful words that we could ever find in the scripture. Because, again, as he said, he was the one hurting the most. I can imagine Peter thinking, sure, if he really is back from the dead, he'll want to see everybody but me. I'm probably the last person that he wants to see. And if he does want to see me, I'm sure he's going to say, I told you so. You know, point the finger at me and say, I predicted that this was going to happen, and you did it anyhow. So how are you going to atone for that? But he never said anything like that at all. But again, Peter understood he was forgiven. Peter understood the power of restoration. and Peter, of course, was chosen to preach the first message of the church age at Pentecost. Peter really understood the God of the second chance.
Mm.
You know, some people never get a second chance.
Right, right.
Some people never get a second chance. We serve a God, we know a God who gives us a second chance every day of our lives.
Yeah, it goes back to that earlier point that do we believe and trust in his life? Like, you know, just thinking of those words and Peter, I mean, think about just the value of the church. You know, maybe someone is dejected or just someone is just isolated. And then you go and bring resurrection life. You go and bring resurrection perspective. You go and speak resurrection language. And because he said it right at the very end, he said, God went to them that needed him the most. And thank God for that. I mean, it's not about, again, no pain. We're not here to pay for our sins. And maybe that's kind of a theological concept. Like, of course, I know Jesus paid for my sin, but every day, like, what motivates us? Is it a deficit motivation? Am I doing this so I look spiritual? And because we understand that not all progress and not all activity is progress, right? It's really this idea of how am I motivated? If I'm motivated by guilt for whatever reason, then we're not facing life in the resurrection perspective. But if we're there just in faith, as he said earlier, being a receiver and a partaker of faith, then we get to know him in our frailty. And wasn't that an interesting point, Pastor Love? Again, getting to know God through my frailty, not only through that lens, and that's we understand that we are frail, but that God says, in your weakness, I am made, my strength is made perfect. I mean, he said so many very, very good things, but we don't have to pay for our sins. That doesn't have to, God doesn't change because we change. He does it because that's who he is. Like he quoted Watchman Nee. That was brilliant.
Yeah. Amen. Well, you can join us, friends. The phone lines are now open, and we welcome your phone calls, and we hope to hear from you. 800-338-7060 is the toll-free number throughout all of North America. And this is a great time to give us a call, and we'd love to hear what your thoughts are. You heard the message that we just listened to, we trust. Weigh in. Share your thoughts with us. If you're calling from the local area in the Baltimore or the state of Maryland, 410-483-3700 would be the number you would dial. And we're looking forward to having you join us, friends. Take the opportunity now, with about 17 minutes left in the broadcast, to reach out to us and share your thoughts. We've heard from Dominic Di Piazza over in, I believe, the country of France, saying, "Dear pastors, speaking of death and resurrection, yesterday I went to the cemetery to honor my wife's memorial, and seeing the writings on her tombstone that said, 'Jesus, faithful and true,' I was touched reading this verse of Revelation and thankful that through the testimony of my wife, I could be associated with this marvelous name of Jesus and know that I, like her, will continue to live even though I will die." That's the promise from Jesus in John chapter 11, verse 24. Amen. Amen. You know, it also makes me think of that verse in Hebrews, the 11th chapter, where the writer says, you know, he being dead yet speaketh.
Mm.
You know, all those who lived here on the earth and walked with Christ and knew him in a personal way, although they are gone, they still have the potential to speak through their lives, through their testimony, through their sharing the gospel with others. And that's incredible, you know, because so many people think, well, when death comes, that's the end, it's over. But not for the believer. And that legacy, the life that we live, the life of faith, continues to speak even after we're gone. And just to illustrate that point, you know, think about it. Whose message did we just listen to? Pastor Stevens.
Yeah.
He's been gone now for several years, many years, and yet here he is still speaking. And we love to hear his messages because how relevant and how applicable, and they really transcend time. This message was preached in the month of April 1983.
Wow.
Think about that. That's almost 40 years ago. And it sounded like you preached it yesterday.
Yes. Yeah, I think immediately of Abel, right? The blood of Abel is speaking greater things. It's no longer vengeance and judgment. It's now mercy rejoices over judgment. And again, Pastor Stephen has referred to this over and over, how grace is really the catalyst to living in the resurrection life. You know, like he who became sin, who knew no sin, so that we might become or experience or be a trophy of his righteousness. It's the same principle. I was looking for this verse in Hosea, that he became as the grave so that we would never be left in the grave. Mm-hmm. And yeah, how many people in our lives do we have just shouting at us in the right sense? You know, don't quit, or, you know, focus in on the true nature of love. I mean, there's so many beautiful voices in the heart that is speaking life. And don't listen to any other voice, by the way. If it doesn't draw you to God or to his word, if it doesn't align to it, then cast it down, because the voice of truth is really the transforming aspect of Christ.
Amen. Well, our first caller is joining us from great city of Brooklyn, New York, and Pastor Johnny Cooper. Pastor Cooper, welcome.
Hi, Pastor Love. Pastor Moore. I was just thinking that, wow, this subject can be zeroed in on for like months, and the need of it. And I was just grateful. I wanted to share gratitude attitude because of the quality of the pulpit, the quality of the teaching ministry that we're in that really glorifies God and lays out the provision for us to walk in freedom. And how, you know, he was declared to be the Son of God through the power of his resurrection. And we have this brand new life, a brand new identity, and the provision of God himself, as Dr. Stevens was bringing out. He is our wisdom. He is our sanctification. He is our strength. He is our rock. He is the I am that we need to live. And through the word of God that's rightly divided, as you are doing, the quality of the initiation of the word of God just gives us the internal provision to make grace adjustments, because, you know, the old sin nature is motivated by pride, and you just orient to a works program, even neo-legalistic kind of application of doctrine in life. And I don't know, I just I'm just blessed for the quality of the pulpit and the body that he has prepared, a prepared body. Dr. Stevens, our pastors, Pastor Moses, and so forth, initiating from this premise, this foundation, it gives us liberty to live, to really live. And I heard this one statement that men are not so much afraid of dying as they are of living. Mm. And this provision of the finished work and the communication that you pastors are initiating, it really reveals the freedom that God desires us to have. And he's glorified in that in that freedom. So I'm just grateful to be a part of this ministry, and we're here in Brooklyn and just tapping in. I just found out yesterday that you're on a new time at 11 o'clock, and I'm glad I had a chance to listen. And thank you, Pastor Love. Thank you, Pastor Moore, and for the quality of the initiation of the word. So, you know, everyone that listens in without familiarity can be fine-tuned and equipped to continue to walk in the newness of life.
Well said, Pastor Cooper. Well said. We always enjoy when you give us a call, because you have a lot to share, and we appreciate your insights to this whole theme of resurrection power. And I love that verse that you mentioned Romans chapter 1, verse 4, speaking of Christ, he is declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Beautiful.
Amen. Yes, and the declaration, that's what you guys are doing. You're declaring with that mood of certainty, you know, those indicative moods in the Word of God really builds us up with the foundation of our faith, you know, the faith that comes by hearing by the Word of God. We are built up on this foundation, and I'm just grateful. And as you mentioned, finally, Pastor Love, like we're in this world where it's a whirlwind of lies and narratives, and certain people, you know, they're asked, what is a woman? And everything is so convoluted now that you have to say, well, I'm not a biologist.
Oh, boy. I'm not a biologist either, but I can tell you the difference.
I love you, gentlemen. God bless you. Thank you for declaring and communicating daily. I'm just grateful to be in this kind of ministry. The quality of life, the quality of the pulpit, the quality of the word produces such a provision for us to walk and live in freedom.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Cooper. Great to hear from you. Phone lines are open. Give us a call. Share some thoughts with us at 800-338-7060 in the remaining minutes that we have left. And if you're calling from the greater Baltimore area, you could dial 410-483-3700. Toni Sewell has reached out to us, and quoting John 11:25, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. And Matthew wrote and said, it's such a great place of peace to be when Jesus doesn't change. And he also loves us so consistently through his character. Even when we are inconsistent, we can lean on him during those times. Amen. And Tess, reaching out to us all the way from Malmo, Sweden, says, thank God for Pastor Carl Stevens' preachings. They're fresh, authentic. I always listen to one or two of his sermons in the archives every day. I'm always edified and refreshed in my spirit. They're priceless. Yeah. They are priceless. Of course, for everything else, there's MasterCard.
Yeah. I thought that was American Express, actually.
No, that's MasterCard.
No, okay.
Yeah. But, yeah, you talk about that which is priceless.
Amen.
As Pastor Cooper just shared, it's the message, and the Grace Hour becomes an avenue for us to declare that message, and what a blessing that is.
Yeah, there's no cancel culture in the Bible. I just, you know, we see grace fighting for the believer every time. And what a gospel that is, and the world, and just Pastor Cooper alluded to that, you know, what is a woman, the absurdity, and just we can't even process really without laughing hysterically, just the mindset there. But as believers, we're light on a hill. We're light on a hill, and we're presenting a gospel that's not ours. It's a supernatural gospel. It's a resurrected gospel. It's anointed. It's a timeless gospel. And I just love, he kept saying this statement, we initiate from a grace premise. At least that's how I kind of translated what he was saying, that this is the way to live our lives. Not that, you know, grace teaches us to deny ungodliness, but it also is creating in us a capacity to live out the gospel in action and in obedience. And yeah, I love that what Tess wrote. That's beautiful. These are like, again, just... the grit of the soul, the soul structure, the grace orientation, the power of God never loses its power. It's amazing.
It doesn't. And again, I just love that foundational principle you just brought out about the grace of God. When you begin to build your life on that as a foundation, and of course the foundation is Christ himself. 1 Corinthians 3:11, other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus and his finished work. We build on that. That's our premise. And we never have to stray from that foundation, even when there's failure in our lives. And we heard in the message from Pastor Stevens, when failure interrupts the fellowship of the believer, it simply needs to be confessed. and then it's quickly put behind us, and then we just move on. It's that simple. Too many Christians just get stuck when failure interrupts their fellowship, and they focus on it, and there isn't an inordinate amount of attention and energy and resources, and maybe an analysis, like, why did that happen? How did that happen? And they want to kind of retrace their steps. And hey, listen, don't bother. Just confess it and let the blood of Jesus Christ cleanse you. And then just move on. It's that simple, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a believer of counseling if it's centered in a Christ-centered biblical, foundation, of course, where people get stuck, like you said, and need the navigation. But absolutely, it's sin. It's not sin-centered. It's got to be son-centered and really emphasizing the work of Christ. I mean, I think it goes back to something originally that Pastor Stephen said in the very beginning of the message that kind of resonated with me. Like, do we really trust in the character of his life? Because if we really do, not to be introspective, but if we really do, then we will not have this idea that we have to, you know, earn our salvation, but we can live in the freedom of it. And that's such an encouraging point. We keep it simple. Just like he said, he spoke in the same tone. That was kind of interesting, too. He spoke to Mary in the same tone that at the resurrection at the tomb that he did all her life. Like, Jesus was so consistent, like Matthew said, like that's such a great statement. It's like that doesn't enable us or to live in our sin, and I know he's not saying that, but it empowers us to say yes to God, and the anatomy of rebounds is a good way. We, in 2 Corinthians 7, 10, and 11, like we can allow the truth to be our defense and quicken us to be united in the fear of the Lord. And that's what keeps us living and walking in truth and really hating evil.
Yeah. Amen. Beautiful. And I love that whole principle of Pastor Stevens referred to it as rebounding. It wasn't original with him, I'm sure, but you can't, you know, lose sight of that great truth, because it, you know, the game of basketball is won or lost depending upon whether you out-rebound the other team.
Hmm.
Because this whole idea of thinking that 100% of your shots are going to go in every time you put up a shot, it's not realistic any more than you think you're going to live perfectly 100% of your life. You can't, but you can rebound, and that makes all the difference. We're out of time, friends. Thanks so much for joining us. We really appreciate it. We'll be back tomorrow for the Friday edition of the Grace Hour. Got another great message coming up then, so join us in less than 24 hours. God bless.